Hey there, piss freaks and geeks. Tom Takar here with a reminder that if you live in New York City, come see me and Tommy's live show, Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy, at Caroline's on Broadway tonight, September 27th at 9:30, featuring Joe List, Aparna Nancherla, Christina Hutchinson from the Guys We Fucked podcast, Sean Donnelly, our friend Martin Urbano, and more. Promo code MOMMY for $10 tickets. We'd love to see you there. Please come so that we don't look stupid. Also, check out our Patreon for bonus episodes and content. Patreon.com/standbyyourband. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. The year is 1994. Famous baseball player Michael Jordan cuts off all communication with Sports Illustrated after they make fun of him on their cover. Crayola releases scented crayons but has to retire the food-scented ones when people start eating them. This epidemic sparked the popular saying of the year, "Life is like a box of crayons. You always eat the chocolate-smelling ones." And at Brentwood EMH High School in Los Angeles, California, Adam Levine, Jesse Carmichael, Mickey Madden, and Ryan Dusick formed a band called Kara's Flowers. In 1997, a producer named Tommy Allen saw Kara's Flowers play at a beach party and offered to manage them and record an album for them. That album would make its way into the hands of Reprise Records, who re-recorded the album. In spite of big expectations from all parties involved, the Britpop-sounding album only sold 5,000 copies, and the band was dropped from the label. Levine and Carmichael went to college in Long Island, New York, where they reportedly changed their style to a more urban sound. The boys returned to the industry in 2001 when they got a demo deal with MCA that eventually petered out. However, another demo of theirs that was failing to gain any traction ended up in the hands of Octone Records executive Ben Berkman, who heard Sunday Morning and thought it was so genius he couldn't believe it had come from Kara's Flowers. He asked his colleagues to fly out to see the band play at the Viper Room, and they were quickly convinced of Levine's talent. Octone asked that the boys add a guitarist to free up Levine to just be the star, sexy frontman. They added James Valentine and dropped the name Kara's Flowers. In 2002, the band put out their first album, Songs About Jane. James Valentine had become friends with John Mayer in college, and Mayer asked them to open for him after being blown away by the song This Love. Their first single, Harder to Breathe, picked up radio play over time and hit top 20 on Billboard charts. However, the album wouldn't reach major success until 2004, 2 years later, when it topped out at number 6 on Billboard charts. Their second album, It Won't Be Soon Before Long, broke iTunes records upon its release, and the first single, Makes Me Wonder, landed at number 1 in May of 2007. With the World Music Award for World's Best New Group, 3 Grammys, over 20 million records sold, 5 studio albums, and a 6th on the way, today we stand by Maroon 5. Hello, everybody, you piss freaks, you Stantonio Banderases. Welcome to Stand By Your Band, the podcast where we have comics on to defend music that everybody makes fun of. And here's my co-host, Tommy McNamara.
Nah.
That's my thing.
I'm here. Good to be here.
Let's not waste any time. Let's introduce our guest here to talk about Maroon 5 today, Joel Kim Booster.
Hello.
Oh my God.
Big long-time listener, first-time guest. So excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're on. This is maybe the fastest anybody's messaged me to when they've been on, because I've been waiting for somebody to want to do Maroon 5 for so long.
I think about it a lot. I have to defend Maroon 5 a lot in my daily life. Ooh. And well, I think truly in my daily life, I like a lot of trash, and I am a big defender of trash. Like, I have to go and do a podcast after this one where the only prompt they gave me was think of something everybody likes that you hate, and I was like, I can't do that.
Like, interesting.
I just like too many things.
Yeah.
Not real discerning taste. Mm-hmm. That being said, everything I say here is the gospel truth. I am a music journalist.
We are about the gospel here, too. This is a religious, yeah, Christ-fearing podcast. Mm-hmm.
As you should be.
We're very afraid, terrified of the Lord. We have a lot. Let's listen to Jared's voicemail before I forget.
Okay.
So this is Jared Thompson, the owner of The Comedy Attic.
in Bloomington, Indiana, and he had some thoughts on Maroon 5. Everybody's headphones in. Let's turn it up because it's always low. Da, da, da.
Now, can you guys hear me?
Here we go. Yes.
Doing to Jared. The boys, Tom and Tommy, are going to have Joel Kim Booster on defending Maroon 5. Let me first say that, just get this out of the way, that I really like Joel Kim Booster.
Hey.
He came to the Comedy Attic. He's really funny. I'm very comfortable with Joel being a face of stand-up comedy moving forward. He's
great,
so very funny. He's a super nice guy.
Oh,
his heart is in the right place. And that's a very important thing when dealing with the next 10 years in comedy. Having said all that, this is really horrible. I would say that probably the biggest reason why, when someone asks me who are the worst bands either ever or currently, I mean, I wouldn't even mention Maroon 5 because I've never even once met someone with even half a brain of music that has ever liked a single thing about this band. I mean, they are, like, it's one of those things, like, I realize that they're certainly more respected if they're respected at all. They're, of course, you know, more respected than, say, Smash Mouth, who would never be listed as, like, a terrible band because no one would ever for a second take them seriously. So I always list, you know, 311, Sublime, Bare Naked Ladies, Red Hot Chili Peppers as, like, the Mount Rushmore of terrible music. And I feel like if I ever was given the information that it was possible that Maroon 5 would even be eligible for such a list, you know, it's like Nickelback. Like, no one would ever, for any reason, like them. And so that's what makes this so surprising to me, is that how did you find anyone who I assume would also like some good things, but I can't imagine
he's wrong
that
about me
he
in that
also
regard.
Hates or loves horrible movies. I mean, maybe he does. I don't know. But, I mean, this is going to be really interesting to hear how anyone with even a minute brain would ever have anything good to say about this band. I guess we'll find out. Thanks.
I love this. I love that he's like, Joel is, I'm very comfortable with Joel being the face of comedy moving forward.
Yeah,
and
that was
yet,
big.
And yet, how can anyone with an ounce of brain defend Maroon 5?
A lot of brain
Let
size,
me say,
yeah.
too, I love that man. I do, yeah. I truly do. I was talking to you before we started that the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, I've been many clubs and colleges all across the country. And it is
I've heard that in your intro.
Certainly one of my, like, truly top five places. Like, if you're ever near Bloomington, you have to go. It's the best place.
It is one of the top
what
five
is the
places
gay bar?
Near Bloomington.
What's the gay bar?
The back door.
The back door Ooh, is, and this is, I mean, I'm going to be full of controversial takes, but
oh,
I think
shit.
The back door is one of the best gay bars
oh,
in the
my
nation.
God.
I think wow. you, if you're a gay person and
Check
you say,
out.
Why would I vacation in Bloomington? I'll give you two reasons. The Comedy Attic and the back door.
The back door's
okay?
fun. That's
Take
best.
A long weekend.
What's that?
Tom and I spent New Year's Eve there once.
That's
really?
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic
it's
bar.
Fun.
And I'm not even being like, I'm not even like, okay, I'm here defending Maroon 5, and let me be
also defend gay bars.
Okay, so like already I'm coming in at a sort of a handicap in terms of my judgment if you don't know who I am, but and maybe I'm not going to say that this is partially a joke because I believe it in my bones that Maroon 5 is a good band.
Mm-hmm.
But please don't take that away from any judgment that I have on the gay bar, because the back door is, cuz here's the thing. I said it at the top, and I want to just alert everyone that it was a lie. I'm not a music journalist, but I am a connoisseur of gay bars, and the back door is so good. So maybe like take everything I say about Maroon 5 with a grain of salt, but take my recommendation of the back door as the
with
God's
a pound
honest
of salt.
Truth. Yeah, the pound of salt.
What do you think that name means? The back door.
What the
Are
fuck?
You fucking serious,
no.
Tommy?
Tommy hates the name of the gay bar.
What? No,
you hate it.
Wow.
Okay. Somebody else was making
homophobic.
Fun
of it. Oh my god. Listen, I'm comfortable with you being the face of comedy for the next 10 years.
No, you just said that there. I'm comfortable with you and the choices you've made sexually. no, I love the back door, and I will say back door. Greatest karaoke night maybe I've ever been to.
I wish I could have seen that.
I don't want to do it there ever again because everybody who goes up is like, you're like, holy shit. Like, They're professional singers who they're throwing their lives away at the back door to entertain me. It's insane. Our dear friend Jonas Schrote took me there, and I was like, this is nuts. Like, I don't feel. I tried to sing Hold On from the Alabama Shakes, I fucking failed.
Why
miserably.
Would you sing an Alabama Shakes song?
It was
karaoke?
A mistake.
Come on,
it was a mistake. Her voice is wild. She can go all over the place, and I can't. I got one.
Should have sang that Wilson Phillips "Hold On."
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's a proper
song. But that is Alabama Shakes is not a crowd please. Nobody wants to hear Alabama Shakes.
But if you
can,
I think
song.
If somebody
hold
could
on,
hit
though.
That, I think if somebody could hit like the notes that a Britney can hit.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, if you're dope, if you're a good ass singer, you can sing anything. But my strategy with karaoke is, I'm not a good enough singer to wow anybody, so I will sing a crowd pleasing song.
Saying?
That's like Tommy.
My go tos are "Lit," "My Own Worst Enemy," which like
a good one.
is a song where everybody's like, "Oh yeah,
yeah,"
and that's like fun,
one.
And it's like it's a short song. It's like it's a very short song.
Yeah.
And then my other one is Eve 6. Inside Out.
I just sang that. I just did that at Live Band Karaoke, and it was the most fun because you're just jumping around, and
it's
like,
such a great song.
And you can
and
scream it. And
again,
it's like,
very short. That's the thing. Like, people love to sing fucking "It's All Coming Back to Me Now," and they forget that song is like 6.5 minutes long.
That's a big mistake.
It's too
people
long.
Make.
Nobody wants, and like, everyone's excited for the first 2 minutes, and then you get to the seventh fucking verse of that song, and you're like, okay, I think we get it.
This should be a segment on the podcast because we talk about it a lot. Karaoke Corner.
Yeah, it's bad. And I've seen so many girls give themselves nodes trying to sing that song because they forget. They forget that song is difficult to sing, and then like halfway through, they're like, eh, and you're like, oh, I saw it develop. You have a callus on your vocal
bring
cord
some
from
tea.
This song. Yeah.
There should be there's radio edits. Why aren't there karaoke edits?
There should be that. That's a smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
start
I could make
$1 million?
I
think you could.
I think
you
it's
could.
About time.
I think you absolutely could.
If you like that idea, donate to our Patreon. $1 million.
You get to come on Shark Tank with us.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Patreon, check out our fish episode of Patreon with Gilbert Lawand up $3
big
a month
fan.
For our Patreon. And now, fresh off the boiler, our buddy Mike Carrazza made a ringtone for us that we're going to put on there that if you're a Patreon, you can have our theme song as a ringtone.
Wow.
So, and if you have a time machine to go back to 2007.
Oh, shit.
When ringtones were the thing.
And we might have a time machine. Patreon.com/standbyyourband. This has been Karaoke Corner, which is my favorite. Eve 6 is a great one. That's
I
so
think
fun.
Eve 6 is such a great. I'm so mad. When I was in high school, the year before us, their class song was Eve 6 Here's to the Night. Which is such a good like senior song. And then you know what our fucking song was?
What?
Now I would like to first say that I campaigned very hard for Forever Young to be
that's a good one.
Our senior song.
Rod Stewart.
And you know what came out that year? You know what song came out that year that was we could not turn the tide?
What year is this? Let's see.
2006.
If we can guess. 2006.
Famously
shit.
Bad band. Like, shit. Like a punchline. Like when you think of bad bands, like this band is the number one.
Hoobastank the reason.
No.
That's, good
that's a good
guess.
That's a good guess. That
mine
is around
was
06 that time.
To, what was it?
I can't believe yours.
Was it Bo Bice?
No, but I can't believe this wasn't your senior song.
It might have been. I'm trying to think of what it
it's
is.
Like,
all right.
It's so on the nose. It's disgusting. Photograph by Nickelback. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It was so disgusting. The amount of times I had to be at a dance in a circle with all my friends singing along to Photograph is
look
so
at this
disgusting.
Photograph.
It's like so on. It's like, of course.
Yeah.
Like that song was written to be celebrated by seniors in high school
what's
and
funny,
no one else.
I just realized it's like this nostalgic song, but it's like, it sounds sad, but he's saying, every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Well, he goes, yeah, what the hell was on someone's head?
It is, I forgot whose head. That song is made for people who peak too soon.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. Like all of my friends being like, this is, I have never understood people who are 17 in high school being like, these are the best years of our life.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you got like 70 years left and you think these are going to be the best ones?
Remember math class?
It's outrageous.
Those were the best days of my life.
I don't even want to think my 20s are going to be the best.
I
want to
think my 90s are the best years of my life.
Seriously.
I want to peak then.
We didn't have a senior song. We had an eighth grade song, and it was a big controversy because everyone wanted Closing Time by Semi Sonic. Which it was 2004.
I feel like that song's about a miscarriage or something like that.
It's actually, no, it's about his wife giving
birth. Oh, right.
So it's the good.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't want to call
that
the good.
Wait, Closing Time? I thought it was about a bar closing.
No, that's what. And what it, that fuck? Poor man, I've seen like every year somebody, some music journalist like pings him and is like, hey, do you want to talk about Closing Time? And he's so over it.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
I just wish I could talk about any other song. But this one, but it's so good.
He was just on Comedy Bang Bang, and he wrote a lot of Adele songs.
Is that right?
He wrote he co-wrote Someone Like You.
Are you fucking kidding me?
The guy from Semisonic, swear to God.
That's fucked up.
But so
that makes me annoyed with Adele. I thought she bled that song.
We wanted Closing Time, but they said no because it had to do with alcohol, and we were 13, so you can't.
Little
can't
did
be
you
song.
Say know that it was about a man giving
birth. If I could have told them now, but so we had to go with OAR.
Use that time machine,
Patreon.com.
OAR was our.
They let you do. They let you choose an OAR song. Ugh. Talk about not knowing what they were doing.
I don't even know that. That sounds bad. I would know it if I heard it, I'm sure. Speaking of bands that we were into in 2006, Maroon 5, man. That's like...
I will say, he was we were talking... He was saying that like nobody would like Maroon 5 or bring it up as a band.
I mean, two out of three of us here.
I will say, and two, that your little Facebook post that you do every time.
About the condescending.
Wait, my little Facebook
Your little social media push.
Some of these get 100 plus comments.
No, I read them all every single time. I think that having read most of these threads, even about bands I've truly never heard a stitch of their music, I read them all. This one had a lot of defenders, a lot of
people. There was more than I thought there would be.
Came out of the woodwork.
My sister came in.
What did was your sister pro or?
She was pro.
Okay.
She said Songs About Jane.
Songs About Jane.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the album that.
Is that the debut?
That's the debut
their
of
first as Maroon 5.
As Maroon 5. Yeah. So before that, they were Kara's. What was it? Kara's Flowers.
Yeah,
and they
brutal name.
Yeah, it's not well. Okay, so this is really weird. So they're all these like hot guys, like in high school or whatever. They're high school kids when they put that album
together.
Tell
me more.
they're high school boys. Turn up the podcast, Jonas. that's no one will get that except for Jonas. They're high school boys in LA, and they put together. They've been playing together for years, and they name themselves Kara's Flowers because there's a girl in their school that they all have a crush on.
Oh boy!
Yeah, a weird thing to do.
And flowers because of the rose, because they're all Democratic socialists.
Loved that.
Yes, they were Democratic socialists back then at 16 or whatever. Yeah, so they put together an album. They get discovered or whatever. They have one somewhat hit, but it doesn't really go. It's called Soap Disco or Disco Soap. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. That sounds...
I listened to it today.
Like a jam.
It sounds... Oh, I put it on the playlist, actually. Let's listen to it real fast, because you'll hear how different they sounded.
Yeah, it is a different genre.
Soap Disco. They sound like the Wonders from That Thing You Do.
Okay. You can still tell this is Adam Levine.
Yeah.
And this is actually, I think, the strength of Maroon 5 as a pop band is that they truly know how to evolve with the times. I don't know if it's like. Listen, I'm not gonna sit here and defend the artistic merit of Maroon 5, and I will not defend them as anything more than a band that I enjoy. But they have evolved steadily. Like I was listening through their whole discography before coming on here, and they change so much.
Yeah.
Like with every album, and it is truly just to like stay in the zeitgeist. And Kara's Flowers, that song sounds exactly like everything we
in
were
like
all listening to.
Sounds like Green Day
pop
punk.
It's like 97. Yeah. It makes sense, but it just
wait.
Hit.
That was in 97. That actually sounds like slightly ahead of the curve then in terms of like
I think it was
the pop punk like
resurgence I didn't listen
of like
to anything
all
else they did around then, but that song sounds to me like mid to late 90s. Like it sounds like I can't even
it sounds American Hi-Fi or All American Rejects
sure. Yeah,
or all those guys, which were later. So
yeah, that's true.
Sure.
Yeah, that is true. But it's definitely, I heard it and I was like, the way, I think a lot of it's seeing Adam Levine play guitar was very jarring. And I found out he used to play guitar, obviously.
He plays
and
the drums, too. He does it all the time in the
voice.
They
took it all away. The person who kind of discovered them was like, stop it. Like, you don't play guitar. You're the star of this band. Yeah.
And he wasn't wrong.
So I have a lot for this. I have a lot of feelings about them, and I have a lot of experience, I would say, with them. So I got into them when I was 16, and I remember I was just like working at Kroger, and I would sit in the parking lot on my
Kroger
breaks and listen to songs about Jane. I just remember listening to She Will Be Loved, and like there was a girl I had a crush on that worked at Taco Bell, and Taco Bell's across the street from Kroger, and I would just like look over there and be like, She Will Be Loved.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And she wasn't. She
call
never
the
did.
Police.
She never was loved.
She's still at that Taco Bell.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing. Here's maybe the first of many, of beyond just saying I like Maroon 5, most controversial things I'll say. Because I did notice on that thread that a lot of people were coming in and being like, Songs About Jane was their only good album. Or like, you can't hate on Songs About Jane. Here's a newsflash for you nerds.
Oh, shit. Newsflash.
Songs About Jane is fucking trash. I actually think it's one of their worst albums.
Let me take a sip of this coffee to spit it out.
Holy shit.
How?
Oh, shit.
Right?
My computer's covered.
The top of this podcast, I'll say, I think it's their worst one. And also, I think people are romanticizing Songs About Jane in a big way. Because I went back, that album got a solid 3 stars from like every like Rolling Stone. Everybody was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it is. That's exactly what it is. Trash is hyperbolic
shit.
Of me to say. But it is
hyperbolic.
It is fine. It is a fine album. There is truly, I don't think anything in that album that points to them being stars in the future. Except for the earwormness of the songs, sure.
I think like 4 songs on there. So I went back and listened to it because I was trying to get myself back in the mode of where I was when I loved them. Because I fell off after the second
I'm a
album.
Latter-day Maroon 5 fan.
No, I know. No, that your playlist shocked me. I was like, holy shit, Joel still likes them.
I do think it's cool that you go door to door and ring people's doorbells. Have you heard the good news?
Latter-day Maroon 5. All right, so on Songs About Jane,
is that Harder to Breathe?
Harder to Breathe kicks off the album. God, what a great
start. Too, right?
Yeah, that was the first single. It's so catchy. This Love followed it.
Oh, wow.
This Love
was
like,
there are a lot of singles that were very successful.
She Will Be Loved, and then also Sunday Morning, all from this album.
Damn.
And I remember listening to this whole album and being like, this is fucking great. Like this, it like evolved me as into a man in some ways because they're talking about sex.
Yeah,
this was back when I was like, I was very young, and I was like, I don't believe in this sort of stuff. I think that this is bullshit that they're like promiscuous and stuff. But I was like, but I'm intrigued. What the fuck are you looking at me like that for, Tommy?
We're just going to let you get away with this album evolved me into a man. We're going to let that slide as a sentence.
Look, I didn't have a father, Tommy. Oh, not all of us had a Robert McNamara.
Wow.
Some of us had to have Adam Levine be our big brother and show us about sex.
It is remarkable that you aren't in jail. Adam Levine was your father figure,
I would say like
up.
Older brother, but like
okay,
but like hotter. Also.
I wish you would have when you did the name change, went with
Tom
Levine.
Levine.
That would have been fuck. That would have been good.
Thomas Levine.
Not
everybody,
too late. That's pretty good. So all right. Let's talk about this real fast. So I was so into this album. And then the second album came out. Me and my roommate fucking loved them. Josh Subert. We were talking about this today because we went to see them live.
Oh, I saw the picture.
Oh, wait. There was a picture?
Oh, wait. Maybe I'm thinking of
no,
maybe someone
possible.
Else on the thread.
It's possible.
Had a picture.
Oh, my God. What is that? Oh, no. That's not us.
Oh, that's
okay,
not
good.
You.
I was like, holy shit. So my mom, her friend was like, let's go see Maroon 5. And I was like, what the fuck?
Cool
my
friends.
Mom's friend likes Maroon 5?
Oh, so, bad omen. Omen of things to come, I
so
think.
So this is on the next album's tour, which is It Won't Be Soon Before Long. And this is them taking a huge turn in their music. Like, this is when they got... Because they were
the
poppy.
Second album?
This is the second album. They were poppy, but this was more like... It had a way different vibe, I thought. Yeah. And, like, they kept some of it, but it was also way more, like, upbeat and poppy. It didn't feel as, like... stripped down as the first album, I feel like. Like, there were a lot of these songs on the first
album. I think the progression of Maroon 5 is like, oh, in Songs About Jane, you're like, this is a band. And then as it goes along, it's like, oh, this is Adam Levine's band.
That's, like, and I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that they had made that change. So then going to see them live with my mom, we drove to Columbus, Ohio. It was, I think, a 4.5-hour drive.
Wow.
And we get there. It is all teenage girls and women, like middle-aged women.
What a brutal wake-up call.
It was rough. And I was, me and my friend both had this moment of like, oh shit. I didn't know that this was, that's what this was. I thought that they were like sad boys like us. Like, and so then we're,
what would be the band that you thought they were like?
I think maybe like a Matchbox 20 or something.
Okay, yeah, no, actually, I think that's fair based on Songs About Jane.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you
yeah.
grow up in Did you grow up in the Chicagoland area?
I grew up in Wilmette, Illinois. Yes.
Okay, so for me, Songs About Jane will always be synonymous with 101.9 The Mix.
Oh
like,
yeah,
that
that's
is
such a 101.9.
That,
yeah.
That like it was our adult like alternative rock,
yes.
like Alanis Morissette,
yes.
Maroon 5,
that's what
like
I,
that sort of
that's
know, Matchbox 20
sure.
for sure.
Yeah.
That's what
Goo
I thought.
Goo Dolls, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Whereas,
and I think. It 100%. Was a very much, I think the end of that, like, that success of that album, they had a choice. They had the Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood. And here's the thing, who knows what Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 is doing now, but I certainly know where Adam Levine is.
That's very
you know,
true.
He's in a Spanish chair
on
The Voice. Listen, we'll talk about that later, but...
Yeah, we have a lot to cover
finish
here.
Up. Yeah.
So we get there... Adam Levine is wearing like a suit or whatever, and then he starts taking off clothes, and he has like all these not costume changes but outfit changes, and I was like, "Fuck!" Like that's not what. Like it was just all these women like.
I hate that he likes
mind.
Clothes.
It was just like I thought that you were like this artist, like not that doing costume changes isn't a form of artistry. But I was like, I didn't think that's what this was. And like teen girls are like, woo.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this is my thing. Like, you can't have that. And then it was a
this
bummer.
This is such a sad and funny story.
But yeah, well, I should have known when it was like my mom and her friends wanted to go see it. But not that I wouldn't go see something with my mom. She's a good lady. I went to see Boys to Men with my mom.
She's got good taste.
She's a good lady. Yeah, so back to you. And Tommy... Feel free to chime in with your experience.
I didn't have too much experience. I would say I feel like there was like a couple weeks when Harder to Breathe came out when they seemed like they were really cool.
Yes.
And then I think when She Will Be Loved came out, it was like, oh, this is The Mix.
Well, and then maybe now is the time, because there's another thing that Adam Levine did right around the same time as Songs About Jane came out that I think made him sort of really cool, which was collaborate with Kanye. I mean, isn't
yes.
that the coolest
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Love that song.
You could do. I think that hook in that song is so
amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
It actually like is one of those songs that that song is like a real like, you know, it's a sense memory thing. Like it brings me back to like
for
certain
sure.
moments
for sure.
of my life of like truly.
I know that we don't usually do it like this. We usually do the playlist at the end. But for this song, because I put on.
It's not technically a Maroon 5.
Well,
so it doesn't. I don't know if it counts.
That,
in my
that
playlist,
hook
but.
That he does in the song though is a Maroon 5 song. Though.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's from the second album. It won't
oh,
be
I didn't even know. That.
Long. Yeah, it sounds different a little bit, but the lyrics are the same, and it's like it's the same song.
Got it.
But let's listen to the Kanye one because this was. You're right. It was like a 1-2 punch for me where I was like, I loved Kanye. She Will Be Loved plucked away at my little heartstrings and. And then I was in, I didn't like This Love when it came out, but then it grew on me the more I heard it. And heard him say, yeah. Heard him say, I was like, oh shit, this guy's cool too.
Yeah. This is the high point of his career for me.
Yeah.
I'll plant my flag.
Of Kanye?
Adam Levine?
Of Adam Levine.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely an argument to say that this was peak Kanye in many ways, too.
I disagree with the Kanye thing, but I... Oh, you said Levine.
Yes.
Okay, got it. I know it. I was so shaken up by it. Nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. Wow. And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. But we'll find a way. Nothing lasts forever, but be honest, babe. That's amazing. But it may be
say people in your life for seasons. And anything that happens,
I wonder if they still text.
Wait, I have to ask you about this.
Yes.
Have you heard these rumors that Kanye secretly has a husband, this fashion guy?
What? I feel like...
How have I never heard this?
I feel like that would be something that would be circulating in my community, but
so
I found
a Perez Hilton article. Someone told me this. Someone told me, no, Kanye has this fashion guy, and I can't remember his name, but
I've
seen pictures of this guy.
I know what you're talking about, I guess. I don't... No, if I buy it.
Okay.
Kanye is such a fucking weirdo. Mm-hmm. And grew up in Naperville. So yeah. I feel like that explains anything weird about Kanye. I'm like, he grew up in Naperville, Illinois. So that explains truly everything about him to me. That doesn't track with the rest of his image. I'm like, oh, it's just because he's from Naperville.
Does he ever sing about Naperville? I feel like he only sings about Chicago.
Haven't you heard about Beautiful, Dark, Twisted Naperville?
Kanye is like the blown out version of literally every kid that grew up out of the suburbs who, when asked where we're from, says Chicago.
Always, always. Like,
Chicago to St. Louis, St. Louis back to Naperville.
Well, that Jim Gaffigan has the best joke about that. Where people go, I'm from Chicago, and they go, oh, what part? And they go, Milwaukee. It's Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, man. Let's do a bunch of Jim
Gaffigan. Good joke, Tommy. I love that joke that you just made up.
Yeah, that was good.
That was such a good Tommy joke.
You ever notice how the Hot Pockets theme song is bullshit? It's just like,
is that how he words it?
Hot Pockets. Yeah, that's Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Hey, what the fuck is up with a... I didn't know he cussed.
I have a lot of kids.
Oh, that's good.
Wow, yeah,
that's
good. I love that.
Is this Stig or Treat?
Wow. This is more inside than us right now. Yeah. We're inside the studio.
And this is the most inside it's been. And Tom literally shouted out a friend from high school.
Most of the people who listen to this podcast live in Bloomington, Indiana, and have slept with Jonas.
Okay, so I will say another my experience. My mom is like obsessed with The Voice to the point where, and she's very much Team Adam. To the point where I remember the peak of this was I had a friend over and we were like downstairs playing video games and my mom made us both come upstairs and watch a performance on The Voice.
Okay, well let's get into it, Tommy, because here's the thing.
Okay.
I am a huge Voice fan.
Ooh.
I've been in a Voice Fantasy League every season since the second season. I've lost and gotten money. Real human dollars.
Oh my God! What does that entail?
Not Bitcoin, like cash money.
I understand the concept of money.
Do you not understand? Like when I do a service, I get paid, and it's not like bartering. Like I don't get an object; I get money.
Legal
tender. Is it like
paper that represents gold?
Is it on a website or is it like
no? It's just like me and my old coworkers, and like we figured out a system. We do a draft. We do like.
Wow.
There's points.
That's amazing.
That you get.
I love this.
It's very serious stuff. And I fucking love The Voice. Here's the thing, like almost always stop watching once the live parts happen, but it is so fascinating because The Voice is the first singing competition show that is mostly about the judges and not really about any of the like it was my friend said the Voice won at the Emmys for like best reality show or whatever, and my friend said he was like she's like the producer that was accepting the award. He was like, oh, she wanted to thank one of the most recent winner of The Voice, but she couldn't remember who it is. Because I couldn't tell you.
That's
I've
so
watched
funny.
Every, like, I think there's been like 39 seasons of The Voice since they started, and I couldn't tell you a single. Cassidy Pope is the only winner I could tell you who won. And it's only because she sang a beautiful rendition of Payphone by Adam Levine for the audition.
Ooh,
and I go and I revisit it. But it's such a it's actually an alarmingly good show.
What's your strategy when you draft? Do you go for a certain coach?
No, I go. I just truly go with my heart. I go with people who have. I go for the people who are the most interesting, and then usually have to try and pick like who the best country singer is, because unfortunately there's a. I think most singing competition shows, because the only people who watch them are in real America.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And they love the country music.
Yeah, you want to win, sing about those flyover states.
Well, and it's crazy. Speaking of Cassidy Pope, the winner of season 3, I want to say, first female winner, and she was on Blake's team, and she came in, and she, this is the interesting thing about The Voice, is it attracts a lot of people who already have existing careers in the music industry. It's not like, I don't know if I can sing, but I want to try. You know, it's not like all those fucking bumpkins that come on American Idol. It's a lot of people who have like existing careers, who have bands. Like, there have been people who have gotten on the show where I'm like, wait a minute. And then I'll go look at my iTunes, and I have albums.
Really?
On my phone already. And this girl, she had like a pop punk band that she fronted that was like actually sort of a big deal, and like I had listened to music of hers in college, and she goes on, gets on Team Blake, and now she has a thriving country music career.
Wow.
Like, it's so craven in a way, because it's like, oh, she's like, well, I guess this is what works for me now. Yeah. And I'm gonna do that, and hey, more power to her. Like, she hitched her wagon to Blake's star. Yeah. And it works. And I think, and this is my other thing about wanting to come on and defend, people shit on Adam Levine so much, and they're like, he is the epitome of douchebaggery. Uh-huh. And I get that in a certain way.
I have some quotes that we'll talk about
I'm not sure I want to finish. You're about to humiliate me after I go on this defensive. But I've seen that show. He seems like a generally okay person. He seems to really care about his contestants. Like, he has some thoughtful things to say about their music and like sort of in the direction that they want to take. Like, Blake is truly trash. Like, he has no good advice. He never says anything insightful about to any of these people. His people win by virtue of Blake being a mega country star that brings people to the show. But Adam really does have a lot of like interesting, insightful ideas about branding, which I know is not what music is. It's not, he's not there, but he's not, I don't think that show is necessarily trying to produce a great musician. I think that the show is trying to package a product. And in that sort of scope, Adam Levine is the perfect person to do that on that show, because exactly what we were talking about earlier, Maroon 5 has evolved in a very craven way to keep up with whatever pop music is doing at this current moment. And he's so good at that. And I think he like legitimately does care. I think obviously some of this stuff is scripted. I have friends who are literally writers on The Voice.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit.
And you can tell. But there is stuff that seems like generally off the cuff. And I think he is like, he seems like he cares. And I have, I'll tell you this, I have a friend on The Voice. This is actually has little to do with Adam Levine. But I had a friend who competed on The Voice, and he was on Team Alicia, and he said that everyone was lovely. All the coaches were so nice and kind, and Alicia was a great coach. And this was Miley's season. And he said, though, the only time you saw those coaches were when the cameras were rolling. And
I
like that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like, they're busy people. Except, and here's another controversial fave of mine, Miley Cyrus showed up to every dress rehearsal where the cameras weren't rolling, was like always there, would call the wardrobe people late at night and be like, my person isn't comfortable with this costume. Can we work out something else? And still Miley emails with the people that were on her team. Like, listen, we give Miley a lot of shit, and for good reasons. I think there's
valid
criticism of, I love Malibu.
I just heard it. I will say I listened to it the other day.
I welcome her craven tossing aside of the culture that she appropriated to make herself famous, because I love the new music. But and let me tell you, she's back on The Voice again this year, and her face does not do well in New York. in the New York subway system, Miley Cyrus's face does not do well.
She got hair mustaches.
I think she has an off-defaced face.
I see.
In the
I thought you meant like her
she's
actual
not
face.
Well, she's not beloved by the people who tag subway advertisements. But that's what I'll say. I think The Voice is great, and I think actually The Voice is, if you watch it enough, will endear you to Adam Levine in a way that is,
here's something I think,
you wouldn't otherwise feel.
It's weird in a show of that structure. It seems like he's the protagonist, which is a word you wouldn't think for a reality show with judges and contestants. Yeah. It seems like he is like, because Blake's like the jokester and CeeLo's the guy who slips something
in
your
brain.
Yeah,
he's
the
ingenue of the show.
CeeLo has had a very rough turn in his career. I loved him, and then he said all that shit, and I was like,
Yeah. He drugged the woman.
He did that?
Yeah.
Well, that's just
Tom
boys
was just
being
mad
boys.
About the stuff he said.
Yeah, he said some stuff that I didn't agree with, but
he put MDMA in a woman's.
My God.
Yeah, and it's really awkward because they have done some things, I think, in some anniversary season of The Voice where they brought back everybody who has coached at one point or another, and they just erased CeeLo from the narrative. They just completely erased CeeLo from the narrative, which is hilarious.
And but he was just like, fuck you.
Oh, God. please don't. That song, what a bane of all of our existence.
Yeah,
for so long.
It's not good.
I have to say, too, go back and watch, I want to say, like, season 4, which with Shakira. Shakira did it for 1 season, and you can tell she was like, or maybe she did it for 2, and she was so over it. But she is such a good coach and is so charismatic, and I can't sing a line, like truly the warbles, I don't get her thing.
That was good.
Shakira, what are you doing in the studio?
My God, Shakira.
Shakira.
Whoa, no.
That was less
how is your
accurate.
Shakira better than your Sean Paul?
But yeah, no, watch The Voice. It's so dope.
I'm gonna watch it. I will say, all right, so in fairness, to give the other side a little bit of heat, these are some quotes from Adam Levine.
Oh no!
One of them is, let's see.
I liked when CeeLo drugged that woman.
MDMA is one of my favorite bands. All right, there are two kinds of men. There are men who are fucking misogynist pigs, and then there are men who really love women, who think they're the most amazing people in the world, and that's me. Maybe the reason I was promiscuous and I wanted to sleep with a lot of them is that I love them so much.
Oh.
That is just not.
Okay, well, that took like a sharp left turn. Because I do, like, you were like, okay, there are a lot of misogynist men. I'm glad Adam is owning up to this. And he's like, I love women. I'm like, a little, like, eye-rolly, but not wrong. And then that last part.
It's just not. The last part is like him excusing being like an asshole. Or
that is the thing. I mean, that is the thing about the music of this of Maroon 5 is that it is like I'm not gonna go all the way and say predatory, but like it is, you can tell, like I feel like this is the one place in the Venn diagram where I overlap with like a men's rights activist is probably like super into Maroon 5 in a certain way. It just feels a little like sometimes.
You can't spell Maroon 5 without mRNA.
That's
think
true
about that.
Wait. Oh, that's true.
Thank you guys so much.
Mr. A. Here's another one. You know what yoga is good for? I'll tell you what yoga is good for. Fucking. And then...
what was the question?
I don't see a problem.
I don't know who asked that.
I don't see a fucking
It's more just like, why would you say that?
Because it's true. You know what? Because it's true and people need to hear the truth about yoga.
If I had heard this one when I was like 15 or 16, I would have fucking hated him. It says, you know when you're 14 and terrified to talk to a girl? I didn't suffer much from that.
Ugh. Okay, well, that's a different narrative from what he tells us on his acne commercials.
I was about to say, his proactive commercials.
Yeah,
he acts like he was a nerd.
Exactly.
I knew he was a fucking liar.
He had, oh, man, but like, actually, what a nightmare he sounds like as a teen. He had acne, apparently terrible acne, and ADD. just truly everyone that I knew growing up.
This is the last one. This is just delusional, I think. He said, we're counting on the cultural feedback loop to pull a Journey on us. Journey wasn't cool. Now I can't go one fucking night without somebody screaming the words to that fucking song. That's what we're banking on. We'll play Coachella in 15 years. Like, he thinks they're going to have a comeback where they're cool.
I mean, who knows what Ryan Murphy will do to a Maroon 5 song to get it back into the zeitgeist, you know? Because that's what he's conveniently leaving out, is that Journey made it back into the zeitgeist in the least cool way possible.
Yeah.
And that is through a cappella show choir music.
Yeah.
Well, I think Sopranos brought him back in a big way, too.
We talked about this.
Because Don't Stop Believing is the last song of the Sopranos
series.
I'm
not familiar with that show.
Oh, it's about Italian people.
Oh, I am not familiar with that people.
They're just like it's just sucking down meatballs for 7 seasons. Just fucking Guido pigs.
That's our official take.
That was Tom.
Look, I'll go.
Tommy
these
and I had
Italians.
Nothing to do with that viewpoint. I love Italians. I love their food.
I do love their food.
I love their food.
Well, Racine called you a bitch.
I don't think. I'm sure. The Sopranos in your fucking elite, like, you know, cable circles probably had something to do with Journey coming back into this, I guess. I think you cannot deny, though, that first season of Glee, like, really pushed it in a way.
I think that you're right. I think that there was multiple things happening. I definitely think Glee helped a lot because people were really into that first season.
Well, maybe if they want to get on Glee, they should rebrand that album, Songs About Jane Lynch.
Hold for it.
Kill yourself.
That was good. I liked it. All
right. See, I came around in 15 seconds.
All right, let's call Tim real fast.
Okay.
So to preface this.
I find this story to be ridiculous.
our buddy,
a new segment called Call an Idiot.
This is our buddy Tim McLaughlin. He's a Patreon subscriber, and you can be too.
I love this guy.
He told on our Facebook thread about this band. He said that his friend was approached by Adam Levine and that she turned him down and that he was a real prick about it. So we want to hear it from the lips of an angel.
Babes, yeah.
So we're gonna call Tim. Let's see if this will work.
From the lips of an angel,
hearing Adam Levine, it sounds so like you're lying. Is that working? Oh, here we go.
I'm nervous. I know why I'm so nervous.
Yellow.
Timbo.
Yellow.
Oh, my
what
God.
What up, bud?
He knew he was going to be on a podcast, and he still decided to open with yellow.
You stupid piece of shit.
How dare you? That's how I always answer my phone.
Just tell the fucking story.
Oh, that's oh, is this the interview you do? Tell the fucking story.
Tell the fucking story. Hey, pow.
We're making you famous right now.
This is the most people who's ever heard your voice.
Oh, that's not true. One time I stole a microphone at a state fair.
All right, so what happened?
Okay, so here's the story. So my buddy Cheese was dating this girl, Sessa. This is how she told me the story, and the chick's a real babe, right? So I believe her. And it was backed up by several people. And she worked at the Roosevelt Hotel in L.A. in their game room, and all, like, the A-list celebrities would go there. Like, one time I was there, and Donald Faison was there at the same time.
All the A-listers, like, date Donald Faison.
Yeah. So I was hanging out with Donald Faison, and but anyway, so I guess she met Ryan Gosling there one night, and he tried to, like, take her back to his house, but she said he was too much of a player, and she said no, which...
Wait, is this just the script to that movie?
You know?
Crazy like, Stupid Love.
Yeah.
Is your friend Emma Stone?
I mean, I can't hear what snide remarks Tommy's making, but I'm sure they're great.
Yeah, all those snide remarks.
So I guess you met Adam Levine there, and Adam Levine invited her over to his house, and she went over one time, and he made some moves on her, and she went back and
were
told
the
her
moves
boyfriend she's about
like
it.
Like Jagger or not?
They were like Jagger, but I think since she said no, they were like more like a like Keith Richard moves. But
oh, okay.
Here's my
heroin induced.
Is that
very rigid heroin nodding off type moves?
I would like to preface this by saying, believe all women.
I
believe women, I even believe
a lot of MRA shit on this.
I know. I even believe that she turned down Adam Levine because not a person who would ever be in that realm of being hit on by Adam Levine. Like, I feel like third hand gross, even just hearing that Adam Levine hit on someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back to the voice in a second. But Ryan Gosling and Adam Levine,
yeah,
that I
bit
find
much.
Suspect. That I find suspect.
I mean, here's she goes over the first time, and then Adam Levine has like a small get together that he invites her over to the next time. So she took her boyfriend, and my friend Danny also was with him, and they brought like 40 people over to Adam Levine's house and like fucked his whole shit up.
So it sounds like your friends are the bad guys.
Yeah, no, actually, yeah, she sounds like a full-on
villain.
I'm not trying to make
my friends have to be some kind of hero.
Hey,
you know?
Stand by Cheese.
So wait, yeah, you're saying that Cheese and the gang went over to Adam Levine's house fucked his shit up.
And Adam Levine sucks because of this.
To be fair, I think categorizing Tim's original comment on Facebook He was not taking
that's
a side.
True.
On okay,
that's fair.
He
that's
was
fair.
Just relaying news.
I jumped the gun.
Much like that's Charlottesville true. On both sides.
To be honest, I can't hear you guys real well. But I will say this, that if you subscribe to the Patreon, maybe you could also get called into the podcast. So,
wait, true. Tim, before you go, I got to ask you one question. What do you think about yoga?
What do I think
yeah,
about yoga?
Yeah, what do you
yoga?
Think it's good for?
What do I think it's good for? Yeah, I don't know. Aligning your chi and your spirituality?
Wrong, bitch.
It's fucking.
It's good for fucking.
Oh, hang up on him. Hang up on him.
Bye.
I have to say, I have had great. Like one or two often. Straight male yoga teachers in LA before, and it's always the worst experience of my life. Like, I don't go to yoga because I want a straight man telling me how to do yoga. Mm-hmm. And every single time I walk away feeling like, that's how Adam Levine would teach you. I know I keep flip-flopping here, but... Because he also does... There are sometimes on his team, on The Voice, there's like a really pretty sort of mediocrely talented woman.
And he champions?
He sort of champions in a way that I'm like, no, oh, you're fucking... like damn. You're like fully fucking this girl. And it's like one... just one every time. He like... He is also famous. He also brings on a lot of like moms in their 40s on his team and champions them too, to be uh-huh. fair. But then there's always one where I'm like, oh, you're bad.
But how many fantasy points is it if they fuck?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know what? We should add that in as a metric.
Yeah,
I think
season.
That should be the same amount as like a 40-plus yard touchdown. well, we should probably get into the playlist here.
Yeah, let's
we're
do it.
47 minutes in here. The first song that you... asked us to play is a little song called Payphone from that's it's from the is that from V?
Yeah, I don't actually know any of the albums. I know it's Pink V, Lots of Mess, and Woman
Over,
Cartoon.
This was from Overexposed, my bad. Which
that's
got,
Lots of Mess. I
this
think.
Is one that critics were like ripping
sounds
apart.
Sounds like you're doing a
really?
Rorschach
yeah.
test.
I was just reading some reviews and they're brutal. But here we go.
They're wrong.
Is there any specific part you want me to skip?
Maybe just like the chorus is I think. I mean, I love this part too. I love like this little like
breathe for a second.
How can you hate this song?
I'll tell you.
Dancing.
I love it. Beautiful. I mean, we've all been here.
Yeah. Yep. We're definitely
going to
talk about that.
So edgy. You know?
This is what turned Tom to a man.
Yeah, no, the first album did. But I will say, you were speaking of how they cuss, like, out of nowhere, it feels like, because it doesn't need, you don't need it in that
yeah,
song.
Yeah, for a pop, it's like, it does feel a little bit like they are just kind of holding on to their
yes.
last shreds of like, legitimacy.
That's,
as
that's exactly what it feels like, yes.
By, like, throwing in the odd swear word. Yeah. Like, they're like, we're a pop band, but our albums are explicit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She will be fucking loved. Like, why
yeah,
did
I was
you
just
do
thinking,
that?
I don't think they could do any word but shit would work with a Maroon 5 song.
They said fuck right yeah. after that.
Did they say fuck?
He says it right after that. He said, all those fairy tales are full of shit. One more fucking love song. Yeah. Make,
oh,
I'll be
really?
Sick. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, it doesn't feel in place at all.
I was just trying to picture him say ass.
they say it all.
They go there.
I remember, it's funny because hearing that, I was like, because I've only heard that on the radio, and making myself listen to it today, I enjoyed it more than I thought I
thank
would.
Thank you.
And
you need some distance.
Yeah, you do need some distance, and you need to give it a focus listen because it's usually just background music for me.
Yeah,
but like we were both
just—it's Lyft Uber music.
Exactly, it made me bounce around just now. You were dancing. I'm into it.
I think actually the rule of thumb with Maroon 5 in general is give it some distance because all of their songs are sort of categorically overplayed.
Yes,
like when they're first come out, and you just really need to like give it a moment and then come back to it. You're like, okay, this is fine.
It's not my favorite song, but it did remind me of when he said all those fairy tales are full of shit. I was like, oh, that's what I liked about them when I first heard them, is they were saying things where I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is, I'm not supposed to be hearing this. I'm turning into a man. all right, so the next song here is Sugar.
Oh my god, I fucking
is that right?
This song is undeniable, and I want to hate it, but I can't. I love
you
it.
Can't.
I do hate the last one. I didn't say on the record.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was waiting for you to say that.
This song is too good.
Yeah,
this like, song this makes me want to fuck. In many ways, too, this song is a little bit of a worse kind of song because we haven't talked about this, but they, when they first came out, were endlessly compared to Jamiroquai, and I think this is probably the closest they've dipped back into that realm. Like close, I mean, it's clearly
like that
still alive, but like it, this is, I think, close because it's like
it has a
soul
vibe. Yeah.
It's like soul. It's like a more soul, like funk
vibe.
For sure. This was my song of the summer 2 summers ago.
Was it 2015?
Yeah. It was, I mean, and this is a song that was also overplayed, but I could not get enough of
it. It's too good.
It was like this and that fucking Fast 7 song.
The Sam
My Friend Died.
Yeah.
And I know, this song,
Stay With Me,
is
that it?
I just remember it.
I think that's right. So this is the... Yeah, this is like 2015, 2014.
This was like, I just...
2014.
My friend had a car that summer in New York, and I just remember driving everywhere and listening to this and just,
I mean,
feeling fucking alive.
That's a driving song, for sure. One of the four ways to listen to music.
Oh, no. I was like, my friends and I had like a friend's house in Pittsburgh. Like, we all, a bunch of us just went and stayed there for the weekend, and literally the only two songs we listened to for a full weekend were this song and Blank Space, but and that was it. And it was a great weekend.
I'm going to walk down to the fucking aisle to Sugar. Like Maroon 5.
And we'll be your best men.
Yeah, that is part of your contract.
Yeah, when you agreed to be on this podcast.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and we're going to do a live episode.
I don't actually believe in the institution.
Now you don't because of that? Yeah. All right, so this is a little ditty called She Will Be Loved.
Wait, did I ask for this one?
You did.
Oh, okay.
How dare you?
I think this is the one. Speaking of distance, I truly cannot listen to a lot of songs for Jane. This is the one that I can listen to still.
Yeah, I don't like... It's funny, I like the deep cuts on this album more than I like the hits, which is... people are going to rip me apart for. This song I still love. Even though it's like... It's generic enough to pull at all your... Like, to pull at anybody, but... I love it. I think it's so good.
The thing about songs for Jane is that like this feels relatively stripped down compared to what we're getting from them now.
Yeah, that's like, what I like about it.
You can hear like instruments and like everything now. It does sound like robots constructed
for
the music.
That as soon as they started to get into that, I fell off a lot. And it wasn't like I hate them, but it's like I just was like, I'm not gonna seek this out or like go deep into the albums like I did with the first two. But
like, I can't even imagine Adam Levine singing this slow again, ever again.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Until the curse is broken.
Until the curse is broken.
That's right. He did. His acne goes away only if he does this. Only if he never sings slow. All right. I keep just turning it back up because I want
to
hear
it's
a little
good.
More. Give me a little taste. Jared's going to fucking murder me. He texted me about the last one and he was like, you can't keep liking this stuff.
That's funny.
So that, I like that. And on that album, there's another song kind of in that vein, but it's a little darker called Must Get Out that I fucking love. And I just listened to it right before you got
I like
here.
That song too.
It's so good. And it's like a good... kind of breakup song, but it's a bummer, and that's what I liked from them. And then they became like we're going to fuck everybody. And I like that too, but this is what I came to Maroon 5 for. The next song is called What Lovers Do.
This is with SZA, right?
Yes.
Again, they do some cool-ass collaborations.
Yeah. That noise in the background is fun.
Yeah, and that is, again, them evolving. Uh-huh. Like, that's a very now sort of David Guetta, like, you know, this is a festival song.
It must suck to be their drummer, though. Because the first album, you were a drummer. Yeah.
They got really into the piano for a while, like into keyboards. One of their guitarists just changed into a keyboard piano player.
It's a real musician. Yeah, this is like an indica, like Sunday, like just sort of like half dancing at a brunch.
So you have to get a license to listen to this one in most states.
And SZA is so cool. Like, if you take anything away from this episode of the podcast, check out SZA because she is so fucking cool. And it is almost shocking to me that she did
like
collaboration. She is so cool that I am surprised that she collaborated with Bruce Bob. I guess she needs to be exposed. I mean, hopefully people will listen to this song.
That's a fun song.
Yeah, it's great. It's their newest
single. This is all like, it's funny because listening to this alone, I feel like I'm more like, this is, yeah, that's fine. Like, it's not great background music necessarily, but if I was like at a dance party and that came on, I'd be like, this is sick.
Yeah.
I'm into it. It's all situational. Oh shit, this feed is blowing up over here. People are, oh my god! Somebody posted a picture of Adam Levine, like, naked, pretty much.
Oh yeah, no, I love that picture. That was my phone, that was legit my phone background
was it
for
really?
A long time.
It's a picture of, like, somebody with their hands,
I think,
like, over
that's
his dick.
For, like, veganism, too, or something like that, because I'm pretty sure he's a vegan, because, yeah.
That,
as
that
though he
right.
couldn't,
yeah,
his personality
course.
Could not be any
yeah.
worse. He's like a loud and proud vegan. Not, I have a lot of vegan friends and I love them, but he is like one of the in your face. I think about it.
Yeah,
I could. I actually could be making that all up.
But
he
I
just
see
seems
it,
like
too.
It's
he
true.
Does
you
seem
know?
Like it. Let's just assume.
Yeah,
talks about how he eats clean.
Yeah, and he looks.
He's
I mean,
doing the whole 30.
Look at his body.
Oh, the
yeah,
whole 30,
I mean, look at that bod though.
No, he's
that bod
so,
don't lie.
I mean, that's. I feel like I've shown a lot of restraint this episode. He's so fucking hot, and I won't like. I like don't. I know that a lot of people are like, yeah, but his personality. And I'm like, who the fuck?
Yeah.
He's so fucking hot. And he can't do anything wrong because of that.
Hot people are good inherently.
He gets a pass. He gets a pass.
Okay, so we already listened to Heard Him Say, but I'll show you what that song, what the hook is, their actual song. It's a song called Nothing Lasts Forever. And I'm going to skip up a little bit. It sounds so different.
Oh.
From...
Yeah. This sounds like a Fleetwood Mac song.
It is so easy to see dysfunction between
you and me. Oh, I love that.
This is from the second album.
This also sounds like Tears for Fears a little bit.
Yeah. So it's funny because that Kanye song, not only was I like, oh, this is a sick song, but I was like, oh, this is a preview of the next album.
Off their second.
So this is the second album. The Kanye song came out before this.
This is so chill, so good. Right?
I love this.
This is fun.
Jared's gonna be mad.
Sorry, Jared. I mean, clearly Jared knows about music, or sorry, clearly Jared knows about comedy. He's got great taste, but terrible taste in music.
He's gonna. Fucking,
I will never headline the Comedy Attic again, ever. That was my first and last time ever headlining.
So that was that was the what that song is from, or the, what that hook is from.
Both good.
I love
both,
that.
It's
song.
A it's a total lateral move. It's
sure.
Not better, it's
I prefer the Kanye song by a billion now, but mm-hmm. when that song came out, it was kind of like when we listened to Steely Dan on this show and the hook from Kid Charlamagne. Yeah, yeah. The hook from Champion is in, I think, Kid Charlamagne or something like that. And it is fucking, you're like, oh shit, I like this song because it has that in it. But it goes both ways.
I
for
just
this.
Heard the one from Blame Game at a restaurant and I wanted to like start shaking whoever, like, tell me what this is.
Well, I didn't know that
there's
that was.
The piano part is taken from something.
Oh, shit. We gotta figure that out. If you know, tweet at us.
I'm sure I could have downloaded Shazam, but I wanted to shake someone and tell them.
Hold on. Our sound is doing something weird. Keep talking.
There we go.
No.
Okay, we're good now. Sorry about that, people.
I feel like you're going to listen back to this podcast and all of my... You won't have heard any... my microphone will
you don't
have been
think?
Working. I don't know.
We can hear you. Okay, good. Yeah, it's that the headphones are like a little screwy.
It's a top-notch studio we're currently recording in.
I like all studios, a picture of Jerry Seinfeld stares at you the whole time.
Yep. So let's go ahead and hear this last song so we can... I know you got to...
This is the last one?
Yeah, this is the last one. This is called Won't Go Home Without You, which I was so psyched that you...
Again, a song you need a little distance from, but it's so good. This is like a Wallflower song.
Jacob Dylan. I love the Wallflowers, too.
I like Jacob Dylan better than Bob Dylan. I said it.
Oh,
man.
Shit.
I'm in on Jacob over Bob.
Thank you. Hotter and a better singer.
This is a very controversial episode of this podcast. People are going to be pissed. That we
Bringing Down the Horse is a perfect album. The Wallflowers album. It's literally perfect.
Oh, this is such a good song. There's no trace of what they sound like today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a song. This single will only be replayed on radio stations that, when they say the station name, they're like, the hits of the 80s, 90s, and today. You know?
Like, no, this sounds more like Kara's Flowers than it sounds like new Maroon 5. And I think that's why I liked this shit so much more, because this was right in my wheelhouse. But I'll be honest, you've shown me that I don't hate the new stuff as much as I thought I did.
Mission accomplished.
I'm going to give it a little bit more of a chance. I still can't imagine myself sitting
around. I don't think you need to sit down and listen to it while you're writing.
Okay,
I don't think
it's definitely not good for that.
I don't think it's like contemplative music by any means. But on a road trip, when there's a lull in the conversation, throw it on and people can space out and look out the window at their phones. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great. You talk over it even.
I think that for me, I hope that in the way that they evolved me into a man, I hope that they evolve me into an older man. That
you will age gracefully.
Yeah, in my late 70s, I'll go back and listen to the new Maroon 5 album.
Yeah.
And I'll
change
again.
And it'll sound exactly like whatever music was popular 3 years ago.
And it's just going to be Adam Levine and robots at that point, like for sure.
Pretty much.
The robots are hot.
Do you know any of the names of any of the... Of the other five?
There's the guy that looks like the guy from Derek.
I do.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
He's
We've
looking
got
at his computer.
Jesse Carmichael, Mickey
Madden. Oh, from the Carmichael Show.
That's right. PJ Morton, Matt
the
Flynn. They've had some change. I used to know this because I loved Songs About Jane so much. It's one of the few albums that I had that I read the liner notes and shit. And like it had all the lyrics and stuff. And fuck you, Tommy. This is an anti-shame podcast now.
This is the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
We haven't been that before, but now we are. You stop shaming me, all right? What do you give it, Tommy? What do you think?
You go first.
Me first?
Yeah.
It's
always
first?
Me first.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
We rate out of this.
I know. I've heard the
six.
Podcast.
Okay, yeah.
Thank
well,
you for listening to it, Joel.
People always get mad because I didn't know what the ratings meant until 2 weeks ago when I figured it out.
I've said it multiple times, but yeah, we did change it up a lot.
Okay, you go first.
All right, so Payphone, Sugar, She Will Be Loved. I'm going to give this... This is really hard because I really love, like... I think I got to go 4.6. I'm going to go 4.6.
4.6.
I'm taking
six.
A little bit out for I even though I didn't hate Payphone this time, it does take me out of it when they cuss at it, and I was like, it's not
Ooh,
my favorite.
He can't do he's a clean
yeah.
he's
no,
he likes
that.
Clean music, everybody. You heard it here first. Radio friendly only.
It's not what I want from them, and it
Radio
feels
Disney.
Forced. Yeah, that's what I listen to. I want to hear I'll listen to the Kids Bop version of this and give it a 6. But I will not have Adam Levine say fuck in my home or my ears. No, it's I like when they do it sometimes. On this song, it feels a little forced. Sugar, I like. I'm probably not going to keep. I really liked that one. It's that what lovers do, I could leave behind. But it's not bad. But if this whole playlist, I'm biased. If it were all from the first two albums, it would have been a perfect six for me. But that's not what you were here to do. And I'm appreciative that you spread it out over the albums because I think it.
I'm a holistic Maroon 5 lover.
You're one of
and
our
healer.
Few. It's true. Tommy had gout before this podcast. So I'm appreciative that you did that, and I think that it's one of the few times that we've had a guest on who still loves the band and like can I think defend them with vigor and with grace. So I appreciate you doing this, and I'm gonna go 4.6, which I think is a pretty high score.
That's fair, yeah.
I think people are gonna be judge me and be angry at me, but I'm gonna stick with 4.6.
I'm gonna have to agree with the vigor and grace
Thank
that
you.
Joel possesses. I love both you guys.
Oh my god.
And I think heard him say his vocal is incredible. One of my favorite Kanye features.
Well, let's
I'll say.
Let's say this really quickly. He has a good voice. I think
beautiful
that's
voice.
It's funny because people
hate
on here
his hate
voice.
It. Yeah, people on that thread hated his voice and they say it's but
incredible falsetto.
Other than Jamiroquai. Mm-hmm. He has a very distinctive voice. You know when you were hearing
sure.
Adam
sure.
Levine's like Maroon 5 song.
The note he hits on Sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a technically gifted singer.
Incredibly gifted. Great front man.
Yeah. Charismatic.
And I think what you said is really interesting, that he's managed to age with the times in a way that Taylor Swift's new singles have shown that she is trying and failing to do.
Yeah.
Now that she's
yeah.
trying to make a dance record and it's really bumming me out.
Oof.
It's so bad.
Better that than hip-hop, which
Can
was
you,
the rumor.
Well, that one, the one of them kind of is. She kind of raps.
She
on,
raps.
On.
She
well, it's like speak singing.
Yeah, it's that weird. Yeah, I don't know. But that's for a different podcast. I'm going to go 2 out of 6. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
So
wow.
going in Racine's ravine.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You truly lived up to your bitch piglet reputation.
Wow. But I'm nothing against. Nothing
I can't
against.
Even look at you.
No, it's. No, you're different to us now.
Oh, come on.
I want to find really fast this this review. No, this Urban Dictionary definition of Maroon 5 that I found.
Oh my god.
It's Maroon 5, terrible band recording terrible music with terrible music videos with greasy grandmas and the lead singer boning some Wrigley chick. And then, because you know,
I need another definition from like half the definition is like, I need another definition.
They always put an example of a conversation like about whatever the definition is or whatever. So this says, man, Maroon 5 sucks, dude. Yes. Yes, they do.
Okay.
So that's the definition of Maroon 5.
I think that the editors at Urban Dictionary, that's not really in keeping with the spirit of Urban Dictionary. Okay, because that is not a slang term. You're just being rude.
I love going after the integrity of Urban Dictionary.
You guys used to be about the slang.
Yeah.
You used to be
I'm
where
I'm going to go on and find that and report that. Because I just think it's not keeping in the spirit.
Oh, my God.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yeah, what do you give the
final
playlist?
Words from Joel.
I give it a fucking 6 out of 6, bitch.
I'm waiting for anybody
curated,
who does this to give it less than 6.
I curated that playlist. I curated it.
This might be
so
the dumbest
I give it a
part of the podcast. 6.6. Oh,
wait.
Shit. Oh, no, wait. Hold
point
on.
6.6.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. He's the devil.
Oh, my God. I knew it. Okay. No wonder you love Adam's cursing so much. Yeah, I think that, is that your final say on this band, Joel?
Yeah, I think
you've done a great
thing.
Job.
I think if you don't ask a lot... Just stop asking
don't
so
ask,
much
don't tell.
Of your music, okay?
Okay, interesting.
Don't ask so much, and you won't, you won't be disappointed when you don't get a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think people ask too much of Adam Levine and Maroon 5. And mm-hmm. I think maybe if you scale back your expectations, turn off your brain, just allow yourself to sort of go down into the crevasse of bad music, mm-hmm. and you will feel the warm embrace of his vocals.
Damn.
Okay.
That was beautiful. That I will was great. Say, reminded me of my favorite Jim Blossoms lyric, if you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down. Jim Blossoms, Hey Jealousy.
Another good
check
one.
It out.
Another good
check
one.
It out. Like also, that. Hey, while we're plugging stuff, check out that new Always album.
It's great.
ALV.
I think we should
A-Y-S.
Do that. We should say something that we like at the end of each one.
Yeah, I like that.
New segment.
I don't know. Tell me what you guys, if any of you piss freaks have an opinion on this. I was thinking, because we talk about these bands that get shit on. I think maybe for some of the bonus episodes, it might be fun to just talk about a band we like.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if anyone will tune in to that.
Okay, so this has been a great episode. Joel, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
on.
Joel, you're
I'm
the best.
So happy with this. Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, this
will come out next Wednesday.
Okay, even better.
Hour.
Yeah, no, I have a Comedy Central special
Woo!
Coming
Holy
out
shit.
On October 20th
October
that people can
20th.
Check out if you liked any of the trash that came out of my mouth on this podcast.
This is most of what he burned yeah. a lot of his material on this.
It's actually, yeah, spoiler alert, it's a lot of the same. It's a very Adam Levine-centered folk special. And then I have my first album is coming out November 3rd, right after that.
Ooh.
So you'll be able to pre-order it.
The year anniversary of your favorite election.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
we should, will this be out? Oh, shit, our show might have already happened.
No, it'll
by
happen
then.
Tonight, right?
I think it'll be tonight. Yeah, if you're listening to this right now.
Come to Caroline's
come
tonight.
To Caroline's on Broadway for Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy. it's at 9:30 p.m. promo code MOMMY for
you guys are disgusting.
$10 tickets.
So
we have
disgusting.
Joe List, Aparna Nancherla, Christina Hutchinson from the Guys We Fucked podcast.
Sean Donnelly,
Martin Urbano, fresh off his amazing Jimmy Kimmel set.
You know,
check that out if you haven't seen
my
it.
My barber came and saw me in a show finally.
I was there.
You were there. And I got my haircut the next day and he was like, you were really good, but my favorite was Martin Urbano.
Oh,
did he
shit.
Say that?
That's so hilarious.
He keeps
he's
it real.
So funny.
I've been going to him for 4 years.
That
my favorite
is so
thing
funny.
Was Joel during his set said, he's a great barber, but an even better friend.
Which is not true. I would not. He'd be like very far down on my list of people I would rescue in an emergency situation.
That is so funny.
He's actually right. like a little racist and vaguely homophobic, but he's the only one who can cut my hair.
That's a real tragedy that yeah. he's the only one who's good at it.
Yeah.
Also, if you like the show, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/standbyyourband. Bonus episodes. Right now, we've got a fish episode up. We've got we're gonna have Skrillex is what Cameron did, I believe.
Oh yeah.
And then we've got another one up, and we're just gonna keep. Putting those up. Also, you're going to get access to our Stand By Your Band ringtone.
God bless Mike Carrizo. The sweetest boy in comedy.
Sweetest
truly
boy.
The sweetest
and
boy
And the song
in
is genuinely
I love
amazing.
I love this. I love our theme song, and I hope you guys like it, too. Also, rate and review the podcast if you're having a good time. That helps us out a lot. I will be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco October 26th through the 28th. I'll be at the Philly Punchline somewhere in October, too,
I
believe.
Oh, my God, brag.
Hey, come check me out.
Oh, come and check me and Tom... out
oh, yeah.
in Atlanta.
At Red Clay. In that's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, yeah. That'll be in, I think the first
final,
week in October or last
no,
weekend
last
of
weekend
September.
September
yeah, yeah, that's coming up. Oh, shit. Yeah, so come to that this weekend, I guess, if you're listening. Tom, you got anything else?
Just go to my website. Check out, look
check
for
out
dates.
Tommy,
yeah.
Check out his Twitter and check out his dad's Twitter. It's still
yeah,
one of my favorites. I retweeted
man.
Him the other day. All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
Stand by your band. Keep being piss freaks and keep it crispy. Bye. Bye.